It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 1065. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done?
And welcome to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer.
Hey.
Alabama Pipe and Supply and Ed Seafood Shed. We also got a little help from Atmore.
Atmore Speedway.
Speedway. But,
yeah,
Dragway.
But it's a Speedway.
I'm a round tracker. I mean,
it's
come on,
one of them
here.
Squirt tracks.
Yeah.
Straight ahead.
That's right. Really fast, too. So that's all right.
Yeah, that's what right. I'm seeing here, they got something called a 3-second.
Well, they got, let's see, what they got going on this weekend. They got Friday night street drags, test and tune. Gates open at 6 p.m., hot track at 7. Saturday, they have the SNRA Nitrous Pro Mods, 470 heads-up racing,
right.
Super Pro and Junior Dragsters. Gates open at 10 a.m., time trials at noon, Nitrous Pro Mod Shakedown 2 to 5. And they're saying the Nitrous Pro Mods are liable to be in the threes. So it's going to be some showing the fast
ones
out there.
It's going to be some awesome racing. But they set some kind of Alabama record this past weekend for Alabama grudge racing. What did it say here? Just recovering. We had a sale out for Saturday. We made Alabama grudge history.
There you go.
Now, I guess there was so many cars I couldn't count them. I don't know.
That's a good possibility. Yeah,
If they had a sellout.
Yeah.
But it's neat to have them back, Miss Donna and all her fine crew up there. And then next week we'll have a gentleman call in, and they'll be talking about another big race that they got coming up there. It's going to have Brian Tunick, I guess that's the way you pronounce his name. And let's see what all he's – I got to make this thing – woo, my glasses don't work that way.
You got to make it bigger.
Yeah, I got to make it bigger, man. I got the wrong kind of glasses on. There we go. April the 13th, Atmore Dragway, Mobile Racers Association. Now, that's going to be neat. Brian will call in and give us a rundown about what that is. I hadn't heard of Mobile Bay Racers Association. I hadn't heard about that unit.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about them, but not enough to really enlighten anybody yet. But, it's just a group of local racers that have decided to start putting on some races and
that's cool.
Control a few things, and hey, it'll be great.
Well, that's neat, man. I tell you what, if you want to see some really go fast cars, these Nitrous Pro Mods are going to be unbelievable. Super Pros and Pros, and the Junior Dragsters with the kids in them.
Yep,
that's neat.
That's always fun.
That's neat.
And Sunday they always have, as always, their Grudge Cash Sunday. So and test and tune. Gates open at 3. Hot track at 4. So.
All right. Atmore Dragway.
You want to get up there, and they're on the reservation, so they can do that little bit of betting back and forth. You know, I don't know that it really matters. That's what that Grudge Cash Sunday is
all
about.
I think that's what that means. There's if you think you got a faster car than me, then bring your car and your pocketbook.
Right.
Is the track close to Wind Creek?
It is on their property.
It's just before you see Wind Creek, you'll see Atmore Dragway right on the. Right before it on the right-hand side there.
Fantastic.
So, yep.
But nice facility, really.
It's probably the nicest facility in southern Alabama. I guess anything that's close to it would probably be Montgomery.
Mm-hmm. And that's a drag strip?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there a standard distance between the start and finish line on a drag strip?
It's usually either eighth mile or quarter mile.
Right? Yeah.
And Atmore isn't an eighth mile facility.
And I'm guessing it doesn't take too long to get to the finish line.
The faster you are, the better you are.
But
fastest cat wins, baby.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was talking about, Charlie. We're talking about this Pro Mods and all. We're talking about 470. We're talking about 4.70 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Strap in.
Cat, don't turn your head slow or you'll miss it. You turn your head fast.
Well, how do they keep the front wheels on the ground?
They don't.
Some of them don't.
Oh, okay.
You hope that both wheels are the same circumference on the back.
Yeah.
And you hope that they
traction. So you're going in a straight line.
Yeah. You better hope it's pointed right when you take off.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you come down and are able to steer it again,
that's got
to
be an exciting ride
Oh, it is. Kevin's raced up there, and we mm-hmm. have. We raced there for years. Raced all over the Southeast for years in drag racing and mm-hmm. and circle track. You know, I'm kind of like I go both ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Racing. I got
racing. Racing.
I got the round track bug after I did some drag racing.
Right.
And just
you was
really born
drag racing on the street.
Oh yeah, playing on the street and. Yeah,
is that still happening?
I think when those blue lights start us going. Now when that 55 station wagon comes by, we know who that guy is. We want him.
That's right. How they started the blue light special.
Blue light special.
Exactly.
Kevin Raywinkle.
Well, I figured out years ago that if I wanted to do this for a living, I needed a driver's license.
Oh yeah.
Needed to be able to be insured properly.
Right.
So I needed to shy away from the street racing anymore.
You cut back on all the stupid stuff.
Priorities. I didn't cut back on all the stupid stuff. Just on the street.
Some of the stupid stuff.
just some.
Well,
of the
do you suppose
stuff.
There's still some young men out there that street race?
I can attest to you that there is.
Yes, sir.
I'm guessing there is.
Yes, sir. I saw some this afternoon or after lunch today
mm-hmm.
on Cottage Hill Road. Yeah, there's somebody decided they're going to outrun somebody. I said, oh, look at here.
Yeah. Some of them are—they're not very smart about where they're doing it, you know. But none of it's the smartest thing in the world. Don't get me wrong, but you know, there's little safer places than others.
Oh yes, but you know, add more dragways for the benefit of our listeners out there. They have a outstanding racing series going on mm-hmm. up there just about every weekend, and about two or three times a month they have some outstanding. Unbelievable racing like these Nitrous Pro Mods or Super Pros or something of that nature, Nitrous Pro Mod shakedowns cars. But let's fix some cars.
Yeah, we might as well. That's what we're here for.
Well, how about a 2014 GMC Sierra? It says that you lose loss of power steering and it stalls when turning at times.
Yeah. And, you know, these things have they're electric power steering. They have an electric motor that's assisting with the steering on the vehicle, all built in integral into the steering gear, which is a rack and pinion. And what happens is this electric motor, you know, we're used to having hydraulic power steering on
right,
the vehicles.
Right.
And hydraulics, there's not much. Anything much stronger than hydraulics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can move the world with hydraulics, okay? But to be able to control this better, they're wanting to do it with electric motors. And they draw a fair amount of current. Well, what happens is you can have – it'll crank and run fine, no problem. But if you have the slightest poor connection on the battery or a cable or anything like that, when you go to load that power steering up and there's other loads on the vehicle going at the same time, you can lose your power steering assist on these things. Everything's not the way it
should. Are we losing voltage? Are we losing amperage? Or
a little bit of both. Of course, when you ramp the amperage up, you lose the voltage there because of it, and you get a voltage drop across everything. And you know, there's programs that that can help with this. You know, they've changed programs, that kind of stuff, several times. And but the biggest thing is just having a good battery, the right battery for the vehicle. That's why you can't go just anywhere and buy a battery.
We don't need to buy the El Cheapo batteries anymore.
No, and it needs to be the battery that fits your vehicle.
It's designed for your vehicle.
The correct cold cranking amps. Is more important today than it ever has been.
Are we going to see more potential problems like this? But since we're going like drive-by-wires, as you guys call it,
yeah, and that's the big thing is, you know, once we get more and more electronics, even the truck I'm driving down here, the 19 model, it has an electric power brake booster instead of vacuum.
Oh my gosh!
Does a great job.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I have no problems whatsoever with it. It still makes, you know, the current and the battery that much more important in these vehicles. Don't know that they're going to end up going to a higher voltage system on the vehicles.
What about two batteries?
Well, they haven't gone there yet with ours, but there are vehicles out there that have, not with the gas burners, but you know, it could come. It could come, but we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation, and men like Kix and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy, always on the go, doing what they best know how to do. Jamming gears has got to be a fever, cause men become addicted to the grind.
That's right.
It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man, and a steady hand to pull that load behind. Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number. But you know, we were talking about some of the newer vehicles and the power steering, the power brakes, all of it being electric, you know, and the fact that, you know, I know I've talked over the years about vehicles going to a 24 or a 48 volt system.
Yeah.
You know, they've kind of put that off to the side because I think they're really making an effort to go more of a either hybrid or full electric system. Somewhere not too far down the road.
They'd rather do that than do the 24-volt system.
Well, you know, if you get to the point to where you're hybrid or you're full electric, you've got all the power you need, mm-hmm. you know, because you've got a 300-volt, you know, battery or whatever voltage they decide to pick from there. You know, I think they're still around 300 volts now.
Whew.
And three phase and all the above.
Can I work on that car? Can I get me some of those?
You better.
Lineman gloves, you know, like they get when they work on the power lines?
You better have a pair.
I promise you.
I'm
not going to work on it to start with. It's too much voltage.
We do have callers online. Caller, are you with us? Hello, caller.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
Great. Hey, I have a auto electrical question.
Okay.
I have a 91 Ford F-350 dually truck.
Okay.
And I just had to disconnect the single light and the light that's on the hips of the dually.
Right.
And the light switch itself melted down.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I need to know, do you all know a good electrical guy?
I'm
looking for.
Yeah, there's several around. You know, Jimmy down at SMR does a good job. A friend of mine, been a sponsor on the show on Holcomb Avenue. He does a good job on that sort of stuff. There's others. Scotty does a good job behind Tom's old shop on Highway 90.
Yeah, behind Leo's Western Wear.
Yeah.
Hey, well, listen, hey, I don't know if you all remember this guy. He used to be a guy downtown here, 1 street open from Dolphin Street. They had an electrical garage years ago.
There was.
He was great. Duke. And then I don't know if he was.
You talking about Duke's garage downtown?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but they're, yeah, I think they're closed.
They've been gone for, I think, Mr.
That
Duke's
gentleman,
been gone for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you all suggest S&R?
Give him his phone number. Can you write his phone number down?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's 476-6977.
476-6977. 6977.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give him a call. I'm sure he could take care of you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. And we do have another caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yeah, am I with you?
Yes. Yes, what can we do for you?
Yeah, you were talking about the cars with 48-volt batteries.
Right.
The new Jeep Wrangler, the 2.0 turbo, comes with a 48-volt battery.
Really?
And an additional battery.
Hmm. Say what?
The electronic stop-start system.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had several of them that had the dual battery for the start-stop vehicles. But I hadn't heard of you that with the 48-volt battery yet. That's a new one on me. But
yeah, the 3.6 is still the original battery, but the new 2.0 is the 48-volt battery.
Now, that's a 19 model?
Yeah, the 2019.
Yeah, yeah, good information. But, there's so many different ways the companies are going nowadays because everybody's trying the new hybrid stuff and fully electric, and they're trying to integrate a lot of the systems that they're going to really need once they go full electric. You know, once you get away from an internal combustion motor, you know, your air conditioning, your power steering, your power brakes, everything's going to have to be electrically powered.
Right.
They've been doing that for a while on some stuff, but, they're trying to find out more efficient ways to do it. And the best way to do it is just build something, put it out there, and let's work with it, you know.
Are those batteries have you seen one of these vehicles?
Yeah, I've driven one.
Did you see the batteries? Are they the same size as our regular batteries?
No, they're not. They're massive.
They look like golf cart batteries or something?
Say that one more time.
I said they look like golf cart batteries or something?
Yeah, they're a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger, yes.
Yeah.
And the stop-start battery, it's smaller, obviously, but it's in a weird place, and it's wired in series.
Right, right. Yeah, it's and of course there again, when it's time to replace these batteries, they're not cheap either. Yeah,
they're not cheap. That's correct. That's why I went with a 3.6 with a regular battery.
I can imagine.
I don't blame you. I
think that'll be a good conversation for me in the next couple of days to talk to somebody over there or go drifting by the Jeep place and see what they've got.
Yep.
Yeah. Take a look at it. Hey, I appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy.
Appreciate
take care.
You calling in. Okay.
Hey, Kevin, what is a start-stop battery?
Some of the cars have a start-stop system on them where you pull up, like the truck I'm driving out here now, it only uses one battery, but it uses a capacitor instead of a second battery. But
like your air conditioning units do at your house.
Right. So,
in other words, that capacitor builds up a charge, and then it can...
Well, what happens is
when you
vehicle up, you know, the power needed to start that vehicle will pull the voltage down. Well, this capacitor will actually release energy during that crank cycle so you don't get a power loss during during the restart. And, you know, so your air conditioning doesn't reset, your radio doesn't reset, everything doesn't just start over like you're re-cranking the vehicle. It needs that extra little boost of power. But, you know, when we're talking about a start-stop is, you know, you got a vehicle when you pull up to a red light, it actually shuts the engine down while you're sitting at the red light. When you let off the brake, it re-cranks and takes off kind of all seamlessly. So you don't really even notice it other than, you know, if you pay attention, you'll see it and hear it. My wife's driving a Equinox with the system on it, and she's gotten to the point where she doesn't even notice it anymore. Yeah, so I still notice it on my truck. It does take a little getting used to. The truck I'm driving has it, and it's I catch myself reaching over and turning it off because I do have a defeat switch I can hit on it to turn it off every time I get in it. I don't always do it, but sometimes I'll reach over there and do it. But, it's just one of those things you got to get used to. You know, just a little different. But we do have another caller online. Caller, you with us?
I'm here, buddy.
All right.
How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Got a question. 09 GMC 5.3, 130,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Plug wires.
Yeah.
There's plug wires and there's plug wires.
Right.
What do you suggest putting on this thing? Stay with factory or?
Yeah, I mean, you're not... I assume you're not racing this thing, or if it's a stock motor, you know, the factory ones obviously went 130,000 miles, which isn't bad.
Right.
You know, your plugs should have been changed at 100 if they hadn't been done yet.
Well, I just changed those. So.
Right. And usually I recommend go ahead and doing the wires at the same time. You're going to take them off to put the plugs in. It's not like the old wires where you had to route them all over the motor and all that kind of stuff and keep them off manifolds. These are, you know, 6 inches of plug wire.
Right.
And, you know, they're very easy to replace while you're doing the plugs. Just go and put them in while you're doing that. And, you know, so about every 100,000 miles, and, you know, you won't have a problem.
Another question. GM makes, from what I've found out, two different types.
Mm-hmm.
One, I guess, is more of a standard, and the other one is a premium, or I'm not sure what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fair amount of difference in price, and I was just wondering, basically, technically, what the difference is between them.
On most wires. Oh, on the plug wires?
Yeah.
There's you have a factory replacement wire, and you have their Delco wire. There's not a whole lot of difference in them, to be honest with you. You know, the factory production replacement wire is it's a little more specific, but, you know, it used to be a little bit more of a change because the wire sets were a little more universal, so there may be a little difference in lengths in that. But now with these little coil near plug ignition systems, they're such a short wire, it's not a big deal. Yeah.
They're engine specific.
Right. So.
And then one other quick question: what about replacing the coils on them?
You know, I have had a coil go bad a time or two, but it is so rare. Unless I was having a problem or I had a corrosion problem when I pulled a wire off or something, I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, they're very, very efficient coils on those things.
Okay. All
right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break. All right. Thanks for calling. And we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
You may wonder how come I love you when you get on my nerves like you do. But baby, you know you love me. There ain't no secret about that. But come on over here and hug me. Baby, I'll spill a fact. Well, honey, it ain't your money. Cause baby, I got plenty of that. I love you for your pink Cadillac. First leather seats, riding in the back. Cruising down the street, waving to the girls. Peeling out of sight, spending all my money on a Saturday night. Honey, I just wonder what you do there in the back of your pink Cadillac, pink Cadillac.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call 343-0106 or send us a text to that same message or same number. But speaking of messages, that's where I was going with that. We have one of our regular listeners saying street racing is all American. I hope it never stops. But and I don't disagree with them. You know, you got to find
a reasonably safe place.
You got to be smart about it. There's right ways and wrong ways to do everything, and I know that's wrong and it's illegal and all that. But you know, it's there's worse things kids can get out there and be doing. Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's a right place and a wrong place to be doing it.
Right.
But you know.
Yep.
I think I saw where this certain councilman is going to be speaking somewhere at a cemetery site. Reckon this guy here that sent this text would know if he's the guy that's going to be speaking at the cemetery.
I don't know. Maybe. Uh-huh.
I was trying not to bring his name up, but
yeah.
Well, anyway, I'll give him a chance to answer. I know he's listening out there.
Yeah.
But you brought up a subject there a while ago. It was a big can of worms, and you're talking about a start-stop deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull up to a red light and your motor shuts off and the red light changes and you mash the accelerator, boom, and it fires right back up and you're going down the road. How does that relate to a scenario where you get on Interstate 10 out here and you've got a 18-wheeler's turned over and you're inching along here 6-8 inches at a time, or, you know, a 3 feet or what have you?
Right.
Are you going to lose your air conditioning or what?
No. And
all right, how does that work?
The way the system works, okay, you're going down the road, and the first time you initially come up to a stop, when you come all the way to a complete stop, and this is only after the car is completely up to temperature, the voltage in the charging system and all that, and it is sensing the battery condition and the battery's in good shape. Everything's your cabin temperature is where you have it set at, and it's not still trying to cool off or heat up the vehicle. When you come to a stop, the motor will shut off, and it's got the transmission still in gear. It's got a fluid pump holding pressure on the clutches. It's doing all this kind of stuff. When you go to let off the brake, the motor will restart. Okay. Now, if you only inch forward a little bit.
Wait a minute. When you let off the brake, the motor restarts. You don't have to touch the accelerator.
You don't have to touch the accelerator. And a lot of times you can just turn the wheel like you're trying to, you know, do something, or anything it senses that you're fixing to want to take off, it's mm-hmm. going to restart the motor. Okay. But anyway, you go to take off and it restarts the motor. You inch forward a few mile an hour here or there, it's not going to stop again when you come to a stop.
Okay, so it's not going to shut off again.
It's not going to shut off again until you get above 12 mile an hour and then come to another stop. And there again, it's only if all the conditions are met. Your cabin temperature is good, your voltage is good, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, really, once you get into that kind of stop-and-go traffic, it probably won't shut off again. You know, or if you're sitting there and okay, you pull up and it's, you know, you're at one of these extremely long lights, or it's a wreck and you're just stuck there for a while, you know, you pull up to a stop and you don't move your foot on the brake or the gas or the steering, anything, it will only stay off for a period of time that will not let the temperature in the cabin raise to an uncomfortable temperature. Or it can, if it starts draining the battery down too much, or if it's cold outside, if it starts cooling off too much in the vehicle, it's going to restart the motor and it's going to not let it shut off again.
So is it going to read the temperature in the cabin, or is it going to read the ambient temperature on that evaporator?
Yeah, well, it knows all these things.
Well, it knows all the above.
It knows all the above. It has sensors in the car. That's, outside the car.
That's
and
that
in the
car
evaporator.
I was talking about to say to get that white-headed old fool with them Coca-Cola bottle glasses out from behind my steering wheel.
That's right.
I want to ask a question on the same thing. Every time you come to a stoplight or a stop sign and you stop, then the engine has to restart.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a lot of extra wear and tear on the starter, or is it a different kind of starter than the old ones that used to wear out?
It is a more robust starter. We have not seen any issues with them to this point.
Because, I mean, that's a lot more starting than you would in an older vehicle.
It is. You know, the starters have not been an issue so far. But I can't sit here and tell you that I don't think that it's putting more wear and tear on them by having to restart that many times.
It's just so new, we don't know yet.
Right.
But that being said, knowing the engineers... Mm-hmm. That if they realize and they know they're building that into that car,
right?
They're going to build a tougher starter, and they're going to put more compatible components in it so that you don't have a problem with it. They don't want to build a problem to sell to the public, knowingly.
Well, I mean, they know if they put a product out there that's not working seamlessly or fails too early, that they're going to hear about it, and it's going to be a
recall
for them.
So it's going to cost them gazillion dollars.
They're going to have to fix it later, so they might as well make it
right
to begin with.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
But that start-stop is what's helping you get a lot of that extra fuel mileage, isn't it?
Every little bit counts. They do everything they can possibly do to help you get better fuel economy.
You know how you can tell, Charlie?
How's
that? Is if you're watching NASCAR races on the weekends.
Yeah.
And those guys start getting low. They think they're going to be low on fuel, and they're going to run out. they reach up to that dash and they hit that little switch and they cut that dude off when they're going around there under a caution. And then they let it cruise for a little while and they flip the switch back on and they pop that clutch out. So that
stretch that mile.
They're stretching that mileage. And I've seen guys get 6 or 8 laps.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Extra laps, which let's say that's a half a mile track, or maybe right. it's a mile and a half track. You can 6 laps. I mean, you could be, what is that, 9 miles or so?
Right.
8 or 9 miles. That's a lot, especially mm-hmm. when you've got a 800 horsepower motor.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And you're getting low on fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like I say, every little piece of it, every little piece of the puzzle matters, you know. That's why we've gone with, you know, 8, 9, 10 speed transmissions. That's why we've gone with direct fuel injection. That's the reason we have all the variable valve timing.
I'll give you a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to a guy today, drives a truck, and it's a big diesel, got a cruise control on it. And they were trying to decide what speed to run to get the best mileage
mm-hmm.
out of their fuel, you know, that they have.
Yeah.
So they said that when they were in this, let's say they take this particular point A to point B, it would normally take, and there and back,
mm-hmm.
would take 60 gallons of fuel.
Right.
Well, they found their allotment of fuel for that trip is 60 gallons, so they found to get that mileage with that diesel truck, they've got to run 61 miles an hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they run 70 or 71 or 72, it takes another 10 gallons of fuel.
That's all that air mm-hmm. resistance, I guess.
Well, right. the motors in that bigger strain pulling that load.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? So, well, it just gives you an example. And same thing on my car. I can run 60 miles an hour mm-hmm. with my car, and I can get about 26, 28 miles per gallon.
Right.
If I drive that car at 70 or 75, it's dropping to 20, 21, 22.
If you do 90, it's probably going to cut it in half.
Charlie, I'm not going to tell you about that now.
Okay. I knew you wanted to.
I've been there, Charlie.
I saw that on mic, on light, on
I've
air.
I've been
light.
There. I do that. I mean, I've done that.
You've Charlie. Done that in the past.
Yeah. Well, you believe last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to just, you know, give you an indication of, you know, whether or not it helps to run on cruise control, the big truck you're just talking about, the way the computer systems are set up on them is that they will only give you max torque on those motors if the cruise control is set. So if you're running down the road with your foot on the throttle instead of with the cruise set, you're only getting probably 85 or 90% of the torque that motor is capable of. But if you want the maximum amount of torque, they'll set your cruise control, and you may not have to downshift. You may not
wait
have
minute,
to whatever.
Minute,
they'll
now,
find hills better.
They're kind of forcing you to
They're
to
forcing
do it.
You to use the cruise
wait
control.
Wait a minute. Come on. They, what?
Yeah. You know, they limit the torque. They reduce the amount of torque that
so
you're getting
off the
motor. So they're
going to change that with cruise control with a computer.
Right.
So that the engine develops more torque.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do that by the amount of air fuel or and a combination of?
Well, you know, the fuel delivery, yeah. You know, it's all diesel is all about, you know, how much boost and how much fuel
right.
you put in it,
right.
okay? Because it's not a... I mean, it's basically about how much fuel you throw at it, okay,
mm-hmm.
and how much boost you put to it. You can make some incredible amount of horsepower and torque out of diesel motors.
Oh,
I
yes.
mean, some of these big ones I've seen,
oh, yes.
They make like 1,600 foot-pounds of torque at, I think it's 12 or 1,300 RPMs.
Ooh.
I mean, it's
Ooh.
A really low number
yeah.
on the RPM range. So,
would you guess the same thing holds for people that are driving these Greyhound bus size RVs?
Sure.
Probably.
Basically, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's as big as a truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's got the same motor. You know,
yeah,
they've got a big, most of them have a big inline 6-cylinder diesel in the back of them. And,
yep.
It's a big truck, over-road truck.
And the only difference in those yeah. big RVs and the over-the-road trucks is the fact that on the RV, that motor is in the rear of it and on the tractor trailer, it's
mm-hmm.
in the front.
Yeah.
Right, right. So it's, you know, it's kind of a neat way they do it. And, you know, it matters because, you know, kind of the rule of thumb on the big trucks is, you know, if you can increase your fuel economy by 1 mile per gallon over a month period,
it'll make
your truck note.
It'll make your truck note, just right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's a huge difference at the end of the month when you're running that kind of miles.
Yeah, if you've got a truck note, it's a grand or, you know, $1,800.
Might pay for a set of tires.
Oh, yeah. But now you got to consider, that's a lot of money for a mile per gallon. Yeah. But you got to consider that you're out there turning, you know, 600-800 miles a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And taking 8 hours sleep and you're doing another 600-800 miles.
How come we don't ever hear from any truckers over the road?
Well, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to work on that one for sure.
Maybe they don't know the phone number.
That could be. That could be. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these minutes.
Snowman, how are your vocal cords?
Well, my vocal cords are fine. I'm a little worried about Fred now. He's been gnawing everything in the cab of this truck, barking and screaming. I think he's turned into a stalk of bananas. Come back.
What's your 20?
About 16 miles this side of Mississippi.
Whoa, hold it.
I just passed another Kojak with a Kodak. This place crawling with bears. Where the hell are you? Come back.
I'm still trying to get rid of that Texas County Mountie. I don't know what the hell he wants.
You know what he wants. I mean, how would you like to be the dude that handcuffs a legend?
Listen, give me 5 minutes. We're going to put some moves on that mother. I'll meet you at Ole Miss.
Well, you better hurry or we can just kiss that money goodbye. You understand that?
I'll read you loud and clear. 10-4.
You got the one snowman. I'm eastbound and down.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number, 343-0106. But we got to talk about a couple of our sponsors tonight.
I wanted to ask you a bold question.
All right.
Y'all still have any 2018s on the lot at UJ?
We do.
I'm assuming you got rid of all the Mardi Gras trucks.
No, not yet. We've still got a few of those hanging around, too. They got special pricing on them. They got some pretty big discounts on those trucks, as well as the 18s that are out there.
What kind of trucks you talking about?
Well, there's a large variety. We've got everything from the basically a base work truck to the high country trucks, so which is our top of the line Cadillac of the truck.
So yeah. High country, does that mean that's you buy a truck for looks?
It ain't
something you're going to run down in the woods deer hunting with.
You'd be surprised how many people do. I couldn't do it, but there's you know, the majority of the people that buy trucks these days, they may buy a four-wheel drive, but they don't go put them off in the mud anywhere, you know. Every once in a while you get one that's been playing in the mud some, but most people, if they're going off-roading, they're going to take something with them to go off-roading in. They may just use this to get to the camp or something. But
let me give you a quick story. Mm-hmm. Former brother-in-law of mine, I say former because I lost my first wife, but anyhow, mm-hmm. Once you're a brother-in-law, you are for life. Anyhow, he bought one of those Heartbeats of America Chevy pickups, candy apple red with a metal flex in it, and that was so beautiful. I remember he was so proud of it when he got it. He brings it over, and we go out new and awe of the truck. I saw him again about 2 months later, and the finish was all scratched and scraped down both sides. And he said, and I asked him, I said, what in the world happened? Because he paid extra for that finish.
Yeah.
He said, well, I bought it to go down in the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, I believe I'd have got a cheaper truck, you know.
I'd buy me a junk truck.
Yeah, yeah, really. You know, it's it to each their own. I was working at Chevrolet Place years ago, and we had a beautiful custom two-door Blazer. It was special paint, special wheels. The whole nine yards, it was decked out with leather. It was really a beautiful truck. And the guy, we're getting it all set up and ready for him, and he says, okay, take a good look at it, because this is the last time you'll ever see it like this. It's like,
oh.
They're like, really?
Yeah. You know, said, it seemed like I bought it. Just sell a truck that's painted with Bondo be done with it.
But he was like, you know, yeah, I bought it to it's going
in the
woods.
With his buddies. He still wants to have the best damn looking truck there. What you
right, well, and right. The deer don't know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure enough, about a month later, I saw it, and it sure didn't look like that again. So, but it was.
You know, we keep talking about these 18 trucks. What about some cars? Y'all have some 18 cars left?
We do have some cars. We've got some of the we got some Camaros out there. We've got some, I believe we got Malibus and a few of the Cruises. We have, let's see what else we got. I know we have the new Trailblazer, which is the 19 model, new 19 model just come out. We got a couple of those there. We've got always our Tahoes and Suburbans around.
So that's what you need to buy. Is buy, you know, here it is. We're in our fourth month.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm sure they're wanting to get rid of that stuff. And that's when the discount prices are going to be right.
Exactly. You know, there's everything's going more towards the bigger SUVs and crossover vehicles and trucks. You know, a lot of manufacturers are getting away from the smaller car because people are not buying them like they were, you know. So, you know, they've cut back on some of the car production. And but, you know, hey, it's all in a effort to give the public what they're looking
right.
for.
Yeah, so true.
So
now we brought up a subject a while ago about the four-wheel drives going into the woods. One of the worst things that we've ever had in the shop industry was to see those trucks that were in the woods and there, and all of that sand and that pea mm-hmm. gravel and the little fine gravel and the muddy water and what have you, and they getting up into the brakes and the rotors and the pads and shoes and all the above. Have they done anything with the later model vehicles that helped with that problem so that you didn't lose as much of that equipment?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I was kind of reading some of
okay.
the text here.
Have they done anything with the four-wheel drive, you know, the four-wheel brake stuff and the pads and rotors and stuff of that nature?
One of the big helps is that we've gone into a, you know, four-wheel disc brake on pretty much everything we do now. And I can't think of one that's a drum brake on the rear anymore. But, you know, the seals and the hubs are way better than they used to be. The axles, you know, we have, you know, very little trouble with the axles. If we have an axle problem or a boot problem on an axle, it's usually because something got up there and poked holes in it, you know. So it's really not an issue that much anymore. You know, if you get out there and you're constantly in the mud and playing, you're going to find your weak point. It's just like anything else. And
well, if it's got rotors on all four wheels, though,
mm-hmm.
then it's easy to get a pressure washer or go to a car wash or something and get out of there and spray all that stuff off.
Right. It's easier to get to everything, get it cleaned off. You
know, the drum brakes and all, we couldn't do that. You just about got to take the drums off.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's just like I tell people all the time, you know, they say, well, you know, they didn't test this thing well enough before they put it out on the road. Well, you know, they put millions of miles on vehicles before they ever hit the highway and give them to the general public. But like I tell them, it's like there's nothing like giving a truck to Billy Bubba and letting him go beat it to death like they normally do, you know. They'll find the weak points, I promise you. So it's
give it to one of me and one of my Mississippi buddies out. We'll put them in the woods. We'll find out what's wrong with them.
Exactly.
Baby.
Exactly. Right, exactly. So, you know, it's but they've been building the same front drive system and forward drive system for quite a while now. And they've pretty well perfected it. We have very little trouble out of it, really do.
Hey, Tom, before we run out of time, you've been hanging out at your favorite seafood place?
Man, I was over there this week at the Fabulous Ed's. That, you know, if it ain't fried, it ain't food.
Yeah, I like that slogan.
Yeah, if it ain't fried,
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, get your butt to Ed's. It's Bonini would pay. But, yeah, they've
continuing the renovations.
Yeah, I've been over there looking for the turtles. I want to see the turtles. I want to adopt me one of those turtles. I'm going to fill him full of steroids. I'm gonna win me a race.
Oh, I was going to ask you if they were still racing turtles.
Paint him up.
I'm going to hype him up, put a nitrous unit on him, man.
There you go.
For those of you new to the area, Ed's is out there on the causeway. and I never can remember. It's past the crossover if you're coming from Mobile.
Right, right. I go to the crossover. You first cross over on a causeway and get off there and go a little bit further east, and you'll be right at it. First big restaurant on the right after you pass the interstate.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Yep.
Awesome.
Friendly people and great food and great prices.
And bigger and better things coming to Mobile from the fabulous Panini Pete and Nick DiMario.
Yep. What's the name of that group he belongs to? The Master Chefs?
Mess Lords.
Mess Lords that go all over the world.
All over the world. Take care of all of our troops.
Service people. Yeah.
They're going to be in Mobile pretty soon. It's going to be neat.
That'll be awesome.
We'll keep you abreast of that.
Yep. Thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show tonight, and remind everybody to get out to UJ Chevrolet and see all the inventory we have there at Mobile's oldest GM dealer out on Airport Boulevard near Schillinger's Road. And, you know, our other sponsors, Alabama Pipe and Supply, Ed Seafood Shed, Atmore Dragway. But, you know, we're here to do a public service for our community and help where we can. So, yeah,
y'all have
what it's all
night.
About.
Have a blessed one.
Said this ain't good. Hoorah. Timing belts done shrunk, one size too small. Those spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main prod spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all. Your torque converter's running low on torque, and that